We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, we have our producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Good evening.
We have our Photoshopper and anime lover, Mr. Brass Jazz.
What's up, everybody?
We have, fresh off of All-Star Weekend in Charlotte, Mr. Credentialed Saucy Nuggets Insider, Mr. Lefty Leif.
I'm feeling really good.
We're going to share a lot of stories. We got Nikias, unfortunately, our statistician and pun master, was sick today. He caught the Charlotte flu and he could not be on. I asked him, Nikias, you have to come on, share stories from your first All-Star weekend, being credentialed, talking to everybody you could. And he told me that his voice simply could not. So Nikias could not flu game today. But instead, we are bringing you the voice of the Miami Heat, Michael Biamonte, in-stadium announcer. Mike, welcome to the program.
And now, stand up and make some noise for the Heat Beat Podcast.
That is a highlight of mine. I'm smiling ear to ear. Just that was incredible. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, guys. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate you inviting me on. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
So, I feel bad. I didn't stand up for you.
I did. Well, I'm plugged into a bunch of things. I have wires coming out of me like I'm in a hospital. That's how podcasting is.
I'm gonna think that all of the podcast listeners, the loyal listeners of the Heat Beat Podcast, have all stood up and they're all making noise right now. So just have that image in your head and you'll be fine.
Exactly. Like some of them are driving right now.
Yeah. Listening. If you're driving, don't do that. If you're at a red light or a stop, yeah.
Honk the horn. That's all you got to do. Just honk the horn.
Honk the horn.
Don't stand up.
Yeah. Here at Miami Heat Beat and 5 Reasons, we promote safe driving. And all this is brought to you by 5 Reasons Sports. Check out the flagship show with Ethan Skolnick and Chris Whittingham, along with our array of programs. We got Ethan was out there at spring training. We got Craig Mish with Swings and Mishes out there at spring training as well with Dutch and Jeremy. So we got all sorts of stuff going on in the network. Check out our shows and especially the Instagram pages. So Ethan has been really proactive about pushing the Instagram pages. So if you check out at MIA Heat Beat and at 5 Reasons Sports on Instagram, you're going to see tons of videos and pictures live from All-Star Weekend. Leif took a bunch. Ethan took a bunch. We got interviews with my boy Kyle Lowry. Leif fulfilled the dream of mine. I love Kyle Lowry. I'm glad that we got him in some capacity on Heat Beat. So check that out. And also, We have a story dropping tonight. So by the time this podcast posts, we're going to have a story about Dwayne Wade and kind of his last All-Star weekend that Leif covered and he was there for. So check that out at MiamiHeatBeat.com. So that's dropping tonight, and we're going to have more things throughout the week. I think Ethan's going to give us a piece. Nikias has some stuff coming. Christian Hernandez has stuff coming. And, of course, Heat Sixers on Thursday. Mike, you were at All-Star Weekend along with Leif. Was that your first All-Star Weekend that you got to do like stadium work and stuff? Or
it was. It was the first time that the league invited me to participate in All-Star Weekend. I had five events at the Bojangles Coliseum in Charlotte. And had an absolutely great time. It was wonderful. It was fantastic to get a chance at Heat practice to introduce Dwayne Wade at his last All-Star weekend. Got a chance to introduce a Heat fan favorite, Ray Allen, at the celebrity game. Just had a wonderful time, and I'm so thankful to the league and to the Miami Heat, who nominated me this year, and the league selected me. So that was great.
It was so great to hear you say Ray's name again.
Yeah, it was. I got a lot of comments from that saying, "Oh boy, I recognize that. Do we ever miss that?" Like all the great Heat players that have been here before.
Mike, you know, like if you listen back to the shot, the stadium is so loud you could barely even hear you.
I don't think I could even hear myself at that time. It was amazing how loud it was, and just the crescendo of everyone's enthusiasm at that time when that shot went in. And it's just the reaction of me as a PA announcer to do what I do. Otherwise, I probably would have fallen into fan mode and started yelling and screaming, "Yeah, he made it, he made it, he made it." But, you know, I couldn't hear myself. And that's only happened a number of times, especially in the finals, as you can imagine, at the American Airlines Arena. But that was one of them. I couldn't even hear myself. I didn't even know if anybody heard what I was saying.
Mike, like I've always thought this, just judging, I mean, I've been to a couple playoff games, not many, but watching them all on TV, that building seems like one of the loudest ones in the league. And I think that Miami fans get a bad rap when people bring it here.
Oh, there's no question. It gets so loud in that building, and it doesn't matter what the game is. It could be a regular season game in the middle of the week, and we've got an exciting finish coming down. The Heat's playing well. They're on a little bit of a run. Maybe they just took the lead. It gets incredibly loud down there, and I agree with you. Our fans are so loud that I love working with them and getting them fired up, because I ask them for it, and they always, always bring it, as you said.
Mike, do you think that it's more of like a AAA thing, or was it Miami Arena like? Because I'm 26, so I'm a little too young to have. I know Leif's kind of smiling. Leif's been in brass as well. They're Miami Arena hopefuls, but I was never there. Like, was it as loud there?
It was as loud in the Miami Arena. The configuration of the Miami Arena was a little different. The fans were much closer to the actual court than they are at the American Airlines Arena. And it has, I'm sure it has to do with the architecture and the way the buildings were built and the years that they were built in. But the fans were so much closer than they are now, believe it or not, that it was just as loud. I would just say this: when Miami fans are ready to make some noise, they bring it.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember back to 97 and in the, Game 7 against the Knicks, where Timmy went crazy in the third quarter. That was in the Miami Arena. That was as loud as I have ever heard the AAA. And just, you know, maybe didn't have as many people in the building, but that place was absolutely crazy that day.
Yeah, there's been a number of times that I am really giving as much as I've got into that sound system at the American Airlines Arena, which is world class. It makes any voice sound good. Let me tell you that. But I can't hear myself talking into the microphone. I can't hear what's coming out of the speakers. My official scorer, who sits right next to me, says, "I can't hear a word you're saying." And those moments are really, really special. They really are moments that you kind of remember.
Mike, something that I've always thought was, I think Heat fans, and it might be just kind of like the culture that Pat Riley like brought and everything, but Heat fans probably get louder for a charge call in a close game, louder than anything else.
You know, that probably is the Heat culture. There's a lot to say for that, because we have, as an organization, prided ourselves on guys making plays and not even having to score the basketball. And one way you do that is by taking a charge. And, you know, if you want to think about that, you know, one of the guys we had that was notorious for doing a great job of that is Shane Battier. Shane Battier could take a charge with the best of them. And he could turn the momentum of a game with a charge. And, you know, then it would be offensive foul on whatever player it is, and the crowd's standing up and everybody's going crazy. Probably has a lot to do with the culture.
You know, in my head, I finished that with the Celtics. I don't know why, but it,
okay,
it felt right.
Well, then, you know what? I'm going to give it to you right now. Offensive foul on the Celtics.
It feels right. I don't know why. It feels so right. Rondo put a forearm. And
that's an evergreen announcement right there.
Mike, I got to ask you, because I've been wanting to ask you this since it happened.
Sure.
So Dwayne Wade returns to Miami from, you know, after signing with the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. So his first game back, and you give probably the most emotional introduction to Dwayne Wade in his career. And I kind of want to ask, like, how did that come to be? Is that something that you, maybe you went to management and said, hey, I was thinking about doing this? Or did they come to you and say, hey, let's try to give Dwayne a warm return? Because I remember on Twitter, we were like, we were thinking out loud, like, okay, well, how are they going to, we cannot handle Dwayne Wade not being introduced with enthusiasm. Like, I remember on Twitter, all the fans and all of us were like, this can't be. So I'm kind of wondering how that decision came to be.
Yeah, those decisions, you know, when players that played for us previously and now they have come back, those decisions are made in meetings long before I arrive at the arena. But I'm given the direction before I get there by the people that I work with, saying here's what we'd like to do. And then, you know, they say, what do you think? And I said, well, listen, can I go with the old Miami Heat style of introduction? Would you like something a little less than that? Would you like it to be that? And as far as Dwayne Wade, it was give him the Miami Heat Dwayne Wade when we introduce him. But what was more interesting, that was the easy part. The hard part was the rest of the night, whenever he would score a basket, that I'd have to remind myself he plays for the other team. So I had to take a pause, remind myself he's not wearing a Heat jersey in this game. And so maybe the hardest name to ever say was Dwayne Wade's name as an opponent.
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade. It's hard. Because for so many years, it was the big booming Dwayne Wade. And that's what I always remember him by. And so for him to come in, and I've got to understate it, that was difficult.
It hurt. I was at the game. I was at the arena. And Mike,
it hurt. You like, cried.
I cried, Mike. I cried like that whole the video tribute. My face was so red. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
he
says he cries. He literally cried.
No, literally cried that night. That was I actually splurged. I got lower bowl seats. I was with one of our co-hosts, Professional Screw Up, Alex Toledo. I was with an old buddy from college that I did FIU Radio with, Alex Solana, producer at 560. Shout out to you, Alex.
If he weren't at the game, he'd be crying anyway.
I mean, I would have been crying at home, but at the game though, especially, it was just
Mike B has a very powerful voice, because we talk about how he hypes up the fans, but equally, he can make us very depressed. In that, I remember a game way, way, way back, and this is going to make me sound super old, but whatever. Loy Vaught was on the Los Angeles Clippers, and he was eating us alive. Like, literally, we couldn't stop him. And the call every time he scored was Loy Vaught, Loy Vaught, basket by Loy Vaught is good. And like, it was said so many times in that monotone voice, that by the end of the game, we were just slumped over, so tired of hearing Loy Vaught.
There's a couple of guys that people remember the deadpan more than anything else. One, for a particular shot that broke the hearts of Heat fans back at the old Miami Arena with a second left. It was a shot made by a guy named Allen Houston. And that one really, really hurt.
You just made Leif cry.
Leif and Brass. They were both.
I can't relive that moment. It's so traumatizing.
And then the other one, which was really funny, because he wound up later becoming a member of the Miami Heat, was a guy by the name of Luol Deng.
Yeah.
And then he comes to Miami, and all of social media blew up when he came to Miami back at me saying, you have to announce him deadpan, even though he's with the Miami Heat, because that's how we know him as Luol Deng. And so I said, nah, you can't do that. I mean, he's a Heat player now. So I tried to give some kind of a memory back to that, but give him some love at the same time. So that became Luol Deng. So it was kind of the deadpan just expanded a little bit to show
mishmash.
a little bit of love. Yes. The mishmash. Yeah.
Wayne Ellington was that guy, because Wayne Ellington, before he came to Miami, would light them up. I actually did a story on Wayne Ellington, and I looked at the numbers. When Wayne Ellington would play the Miami Heat, he had shooting that was comparable to Steph Curry. I'd left that factoid there. I thought it was interesting. I guess it wasn't. Okay, moving on.
Wait. I want to play Wayne
Ellington.
Steph Curry.
What were you going to say, Brian?
Diamante, I do have your Dwayne Wade call from when he came back from his first game in Chicago.
We have sound? We have production? Sound.
Oh, my God.
Dwayne Wade!
You hit the space bar again.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, that was it.
Mike, do you ever... So, like... Players like, for example, Michael Beasley, right? So Michael Beasley's here for two, three years. Then, you know, he leaves, and then Michael Beasley's brought back. Do you ever, like, have to watch tape on how you would say his name, or you just remember?
No, I pretty much remember. Most guys, I say their names so many times that it's something that I can pretty much remember. There's some old players that some old, you know, Heat fans that have been Heat fans for years, you know. Hey, can you do an old school PJ Brown? You know, I don't even, you know, that's going way back.
I'm that guy. I once went to the 48 hours of intense heat where you sit on the steps of the AAA in the sun for playoff tickets. This was against the Detroit Pistons way back when the Tim Hardaway, Jamal Mashburn days. And the highlight of me sitting out in the sun with hot dogs that were not tasty and just trying to get my playoff tickets was you coming around and taking requests of players like PJ Brown, and we were doing, you know, like Alan Ogg and Kurt Thomas and Rex Chapman and all kinds of guys that most people probably never even heard of.
It's funny, I joke with people, I at times become the human jukebox where somebody says, you know, do this one. It's like they're pressing, you know, A6, you know, play that one, I want say this one, say that one. I think it's great. I tell my friends, they say, don't you get upset with that? Absolutely not. Where you got to start worrying is when they stop asking you to say that. That's when you start worrying.
Brass, do you have a request?
Of a name? Oh, man. I don't, not necessarily. I did have a question, though. When did you start saying Dos Minutos?
Oh,
because
okay.
I remember going to games when I was younger at Miami Arena, and it was always 2 minutes left in the game.
Right.
And you know, Dos Minutos came later. When was that, and how did that come about?
Well, you know, people have asked me, how long have I been saying Dos Minutos? And I want to say it's been about a decade. It may have been longer. The story is probably more interesting than how long it's been. It came out of a production meeting that I sat in one day where everybody's in the build, in the room, in the meeting room. And the question was to our demographics department, hey, what is our season ticket holder demo look like? And the response was, it's exactly identical to Miami-Dade County. So the Anglo, the Hispanic, the split was the same. And so someone said, you know, we should really embrace that and give some Spanish to our game, just as a kind of a honor of the fact that, hey, this is who South Florida is. So we want to incorporate Spanish into our game. And everybody turns to me and says, Michael B., can you come up with something, please? So we start, yeah, sure, just, you know, just like that off the top of my voice. I mean, so we start talking about ideas and things. And so we settled on the idea of, look, whether you speak English or you speak Spanish, everyone knows uno, dos, tres, right? You know, uno, dos, tres means one, two, three. So I said, it probably is going to have something to do with those numbers. All of those numbers have something to do with the game of basketball. One for free throws, two for regular basket, three for a three-pointer. We talk about things a little bit more. And I said, well, you know, the league requires me, because the rules change inside 2 minutes of every quarter, the league requires me to say 2 minutes to let the teams and the referees know we're in those last 2 minutes. I said, what if I said it in English and then I repeated it in Spanish? Because two, dos, everybody knows dos is two. Minutos sounds a lot like minutes, so it's pretty simple. Why don't we do it that way? And one of my game operations guys, the game operations director at the time, said to me, I got a better idea. You're going to say 2 minutes, dos, and then I'm going to have the fans scream minutos back to you. I said, well, that sounds like a great idea, but how are we going to get people to know to scream minutos back to me? He said, leave that to me. We spent the whole first season that we introduced Dos Minutos with our, now we call them the Hoop Troop, kind of our hype squad guys, in the stands with signs that said minutos. And they would come out before 2 minutes of every quarter, and they would go into a different session every night, and they would kind of tell them, hey, Michael B's going to say dos, and I'm going to hold up this sign, and you're going to scream minutos back to him. We did that over and over and over again for a whole season. And I tell you what, that thing caught on.
We learned.
You did. You learned really well. And I would say that is one of the most catchy phrases we've ever come up with. Stand up and make some noise has been one. Dos Minutos is clearly the newer of them. But I would almost think you could go to any crowded place in South Florida,
yeah,
and somebody would scream out, dos, and somebody else would scream back, minutos. I think it just would happen that way.
I love of doing like a remote bugle breath.
Yeah, I have to tell you, because that means so much to me, because so I have two kids, 7 and 3, and after every bath that I've ever given them, I always give them 2 minutes to play.
Oh.
And so after they're all clean, I go 2 minutes, dos, and then they both say minutos.
Oh, see, it's point it just, made. That's great. It. I love success. It. We did it.
That's culture. Brass, that's
that
culture,
is
Mike.
Parenting, my friend.
101.
Leif is jealous. He didn't think of it.
This is very true.
Leif is so jealous that he didn't think. That sounds like a funny remote. Just going to random places in South Florida and just yelling dos. And then see who yells back, like at a salon or whatever.
That'd be great. You know what? We should do that. I will go with you, and I will yell dos, and we'll see what happens.
Let's set that up with you, because that sounds like a great video content. Brian, what were you going
to
say?
I wanted to tell Mike what we came up with this season that we got Eric to say on air, as well as Jason Jax.
Okay, so Mike, but listen, on this show, we are enormous Justice Winslow fans. We have been since the day he was drafted. We love Justice Winslow. He's our guy. So we started a movement called Hashtag Justice Better, because we just think Justice is awesome. Justice Winslow is an incredible basketball player. And the Hashtag Justice Better made it to air. J-Jax, Eric Reed, they've said it. I think Tony's even retweeted some of our stuff. We want to know how you feel about the nickname Justice Better, the movement.
Well, I have heard that there is this movement going on with this. I think it's fantastic. I'm not sure how I can incorporate it into our day in, day out game announcing. You all have to help me with that a little bit.
We have to think of something. No, it's our pride and joy. We even got it on Basketball Reference. Brian made that happen. Now it's an official name on Basketball Reference.
Official nickname of Justice Winslow.
You can do it. You can say best get by Justice Better is good.
That was not good. We got to hit the lab.
But Mike, could you actually just say it just for us so we can have it as like a plug anytime you want to say Justice Better on the show?
Yeah. Now let me ask you this: is it the hashtag Justice Better, or you just
Justice Better? Justice Better. Yeah.
You got it. Justice Better.
I think we've peaked as a podcast.
We have arrived.
I think not interviewing Dwayne Wade was us peaking, not interviewing Pat Riley, but it was this moment where we as a show have peaked. Mike, man, I want to thank you so much for your time. You have been incredible. We got to have you back on. We'll work out. Let's try to see if we can do a remote, because that actually sounds like a lot of fun.
I would absolutely love to do it. And again, thank you guys so much for inviting me on. It's a pleasure to get to know you and meet you through the podcast. And best of luck with it. And I'm a Miami Heat Beat podcast guy from now on.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
The voice of the Miami Heat. And Michael B., tell people where to find you on social media if they would like.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TheVoiceMB. Just like Michael B., at TheVoiceMB.
Catch him at FIU Panther home games for football still, right? We still doing that?
We are absolutely still doing that. I'll be the voice of Panther football next year, and looking forward to that. Butch Davis doing great things with them as well.
Does that make me a bad FIU student that I haven't been to a game in so long that I have to ask?
Yes.
It does. Is that, you know what? For journalism, they stick you in the Biscayne Bay campus, so I'm never on campus. I never, you know, they kind of stuff us away, far away from main campus.
Excuses.
I know, it's bad excuses. Mike, thank you so much. You've been incredible.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. That was the voice, Michael Biamonte. That was a lot of fun. I love Heat stories. I love stories back in the day. So that was really, really great. We had Leif's busy. Leif's talking to somebody. Nikias was supposed to be on, as I mentioned before. If you guys have followed this show for a while, you know that Nikias is a Chris Middleton stan. Brian, we don't have sound of his interview, do we?
Sorry, what?
Why does nobody pay attention when I talk? Michael B. was here. Everyone was engaged. And then the second Michael B. walks away, everyone gets distracted.
I had
Brian's
more questions.
Looking at his phone, huh?
I had more questions.
You did?
I did.
What did you have?
I didn't
know
it was going to be so short. I wanted to ask him about the extinguished comment that he said about Amari.
You know, I wanted to ask him, but I felt he was being so nice. I didn't want to ask him about his controversy.
I want to know what his favorite player intro, like, you know, video was with the music. And then also, another one that I really wanted to find out is how many games he has not announced for. Like, how many games he's missed since he started. Because my brother went to one of those games where he wasn't there, and he's like, that place felt dead. Like, he is a
I would have liked this assertiveness while he was here, but I didn't want to keep him. It had been like 30 minutes, and I felt bad. We told Mike 15 minutes.
He's just an integral part. Everyone should know how integral he is to the experience at the arena.
As a Heat fan, as somebody who loves basketball and loves this city, like, that was really cool for us. Like, that was really awesome, and I hope that
we'll have him on again. He said, like, himself, he's that now Miami Heat Beat lifer.
He's a Heat Beat lifer.
Great.
A Heat Beat lifer.
We'll get him to a watch party.
Let's get him to a watch party, dude.
Imagine him announcing your spelling G.
Oh my God, that'd be so great. Ethan, make this happen.
Make it happen.
Ethan.
He's going to break
makes
the streak.
Everything happen.
He's going to break the streak.
Ethan made All-Star Weekend happen. Ethan got a bunch of internet trolls into All-Star Weekend.
Too many watch parties.
Too many losses at watch parties.
Yeah, no, Ethan came through in the clutch for All-Star Weekend. It was unreal. We were taken care of very well on Nikias, and I had a blast. Covered so much. Followed Dwayne around, which I was perfectly fine with. yes. It was unbelievable. It was a really cool experience. Got to talk to a ton of guys. It's just seeing everybody under one roof. It's kind of mind blowing, and particularly like one thing that stuck out was how everybody looked up to Dwayne. Everyone you talked to was absolutely over the moon for Dwayne. And the other thing was that when LeBron James walks in the room, it gets louder than when every other player walks in the room combined. It's unbelievable the kind of interest that is that follows LeBron James around the building.
It feels like he's his own machine. Like, even though you can argue that Durant or Curry are like his basketball equals right now, it's just like he's a machine.
Yeah, no, Steph Curry's the only guy who had as many people in front of him at the podiums there.
Really? Not AD? I would think AD would.
Well, yeah, I remember considering he's from Charlotte, so.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah, I mean, how was it? Were you able to get close to AD? Was that like a circus around him later?
Yeah, it was a circus, and really the people that were getting questions in were some of the more established media members, not this Heat Twitter person that's roaming around there. Which is a whole nother story. I tried to be as professional as possible.
Well, tell the people what happened. Tell the people how our friend Rohan.
Oh, yeah. So Rohan Nadkarni. I hope I said that correctly.
Sports Illustrated. Our pal, friend of the show.
Absolute friend of the show. Finally linked up with him and said hello. Put a face to the voice and the name and the video. And so he turns to somebody next to him and says, hey, this is Greg Sylvander. They call him Lefty Leif. He's the king of Heat Twitter. And I thought to myself, one, I'm not the king of Heat Twitter. But two,
that's clearly out.
Like, are we being serious? Like, this is how I'm being introduced to people. But you know what? Like, it's still gratifying because I was there and it was all good things, man. It was a really cool experience.
I like the idea of just like Brass being credentialed. And this is Photoshopper and anime lover, Brass Jazz.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Justice. I'm BJ.
No, we're tight. Me and Justice. We're good.
Yeah, no, you're boys. Justice really, like, Justice legit likes you.
Yeah, that's cool. He's an awesome dude.
Justice is your homie.
Yep.
You're just like, yep, with your Justice better shirt.
Yeah, no big deal, guys.
Another funny moment that I have to mention is, we were at the NBA Cares event where Dwayne was going to be. Bradley Beal was coming in behind him. But we had gotten there ahead of time, and we were kind of set up where Dwayne was coming in. And the Heat crew's following him around. They're going to do an Inside the Heat, I think, on his weekend. And so we're all
Inside Scoop.
So we're all standing in front of Dwayne, and we're getting pictures and video and taking questions, and he's putting packages together, and his mom is next to him and his son is right there, and it's like really dope. And all of a sudden, everybody just flees from Dwayne Wade. They all like go scurrying in another direction. And me, obviously being captivated by the fact that I'm standing in front of Dwayne Wade, is still locked in at what he's doing. And so I turn to my right and I realize that who walked into the building but Michael Jordan, along with Adam Silver. And
so yeah, that guy.
The same way that I mentioned to you earlier about the way when LeBron James walks into a room, it kind of shakes everything up. Michael Jordan has that same impact.
Yeah, it's like, why does everyone want to talk to the second best shooting guard of all time?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you were face-to-face with the best shooting guard of all time, and some fan came in and everyone goes swarming him. I mean,
that's how I see it.
I mean, just, you know, that... You know, and it's funny that you say that, because I might be a little ignorant of me, but that kind of surprises me that Michael still has that pull.
Yeah.
Like, Leif.
It's like that living legend thing, you know what I mean? And it's Charlotte, you know what I mean? And that's his home, the home base and his team and stuff.
Do you think
that
he would get it more in Chicago or Charlotte?
Charlotte.
Probably Chicago, right? Really?
I don't know. I feel like he and Chicago have became kind of distant. You don't really see much of a link. But, and I know that obviously there's a conflict of interest with the Bulls and the Hornets, but it just doesn't appear as if they necessarily embrace him in that way. You don't see him go there for certain events that would highlight those old teams or anything like that.
It's going to be interesting, though, because next year's also game is in Chicago.
That's a great point. So I guess we'll find out.
Do the owners go, or is it just like?
Well, I know Mickey was there because the entire contingent of Heat organization higher ups were all in attendance for Dwayne's dinner, and then there was a bunch of other stuff going on. Alonzo was at the Legends brunch, so there, you know, Andy and Pat were at all of the practices and things like that, which I found to be interesting. I didn't think Pat would make that trip.
Pat went to those practices too.
Well, for the All-Stars, not for the Rising Stars.
Okay, no, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
He should be.
Yeah, John Collins looks good.
Yeah, no, they were sitting in the front row. He and Andy were there.
I mean, where does Pat Riley always sits in the front row. There's not a circumstance where Pat Riley is not sitting in any front row of anything.
He was actually in, like, the second row, unfortunately.
Well, okay, well.
But, and, you know, a funny thing was is he walked around the stadium. He actually had a PR person walk with him so that nobody could approach him or ask him questions or do anything of that nature. So you couldn't
even close to him. He will not be bothered. Was he wearing a t-shirt? Like, if you
guys
see,
he was wearing jeans, which
that must be so weird.
Wearing jeans, but yeah, he was rocking jeans.
Damn, yo, they're probably Armani jeans. They're probably like $50,000 jeans.
You know, there's been a lot of jokes flying on Twitter, but Pat looked good to me. I mean, like,
Pat looks great.
I did not think, you know, there's been jokes made about his age and that he's aging and looking rough and stuff like that. And I think that is absolute horseshit. Like, he looked like he was in top shape. And I think the folks that make those kind of comments would probably catch a 1-2 biscuit from Pat if they were face to face with him.
Let me say something. That little snippet that SportsCenter aired of Dan Le Batard's interview with Pat, which, Brian, that airs when?
Airs this Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 2:30 p.m. Western Conference.
Western Conference time. No, I like
$2.
It.
$2.
Western Conference time. I like it.
Let's conference time.
Pat
Western
looking
conference
majestic
time
in the culture tee.
Dude, yep. Pat. I mean, honestly, I think Pat wearing it was startling to see Pat in a t-shirt like that.
Yep, but.
I was like, whoa,
that conversation is going to be interesting. I read a little snippet that said he's brought to tears at a certain point of it, talking about the time he spent away from his family. So yeah. I'll be interested.
Pat's been candid with that, especially with Dan. I mean, he has a great relationship with Dan, but I know that a long time ago, Dan did a South Beach session with Pat, and he was super candid about his life and what, you know, the family aspect of it. And
yeah, he was like the first guy that he really opened up the whole LeBron situation. That first interview with South Beach session with Dan was
could have been
great.
You, Ethan. Could have been you. No, but like, and I think the thing, if anybody's watched a little snippet that SportsCenter put, it's Pat talking about how in 2006, Dwayne's like, I'm not losing here. I'm not giving up. I'm not going out like this. And Pat kind of reiterated that throughout the little snippet talking to Dan, like, I'm not going out like this. Which makes me think, okay, so like, what's Pat's long-term outlook on here, right? So, and that kind of goes twofold, right? So we look at, okay, is he gonna be here for like the long, long haul? Like, we talking like 6 years, or is he just here to, you know, a Band-Aid fix? And the reason why I say it like that is because Miami has been reluctant to part with picks. And I think that's interesting because that's a departure from who they are, especially who Pat is. So I'm trying to think, well, if Pat's not trying to dump every asset he has, that makes me think that he might be in this for the long haul and be patient with this, which I found interesting given the comments today.
You want me to play have the excerpt from what they showed on SportsCenter today? Would you?
Yeah. We only have that, yeah.
You were hurt by that call when LeBron James told you that he was leaving.
I'm pissed, okay? So go ahead. Get it out there.
You've described yourself publicly as devastated, and you've said that you will never forget that phone call where you just felt like, hey, weren't we building something together?
You know, when LeBron made that call, I saw a dynasty fly out the window. I didn't blame him, but I knew that was a 10-year team. It was just a sad day for me and for our franchise because I wanted that dynasty. You know, I wanted this city and this team to go 10 years and maybe be in the finals eight times. I don't know how many championships we would have won, but I don't have any rancor towards him at all.
You don't now, but I think it's fair to say that you did that.
It's okay. It's instantaneous insanity. You know, you're angry and you're hurt and you get the call you don't want to hear. And that happens to you a lot in life. This was 2006. That's when Wade said, I'm not going out like this against Dallas. You know, when we're down 13 in the middle of the fourth quarter and this thing was going down 3-0 into a sweep, I wrote down on my blue card stock and I turned it around. I said, this is our season.
Season. He wrote the word season.
He had his head down and he clenched his teeth and he said, I ain't going out like this.
Wade, it's good. 1-point game.
Be able to carry a team back in a championship final. That's greatness. I mean, that's winning at all costs because he had paid the price. You know, he's special.
Knocked away, and the Heat survive. And by Wade, Wade.
There you go. Maybe that's why I'm not going to retire. I ain't going out this way.
Brian, that was way too long. We've had conversations about making clips bite-sized.
I didn't cut that clip up. I just
you threw a two-minute 20 clip.
Listen, you never cut a Pat Riley clip.
You never cut. Let me tell you, Leif, and I'm going to be this guy that brags that I got to talk to Pat Riley, but when I went to his Baptist event earlier this year, or last year, rather, he's standing in front of you, and you could tell yourself in your mind, yeah, he's just like a normal dude. There's something about standing in front of him that there's a gravity. Like, and again, it might just be that, hey, this is my first time talking to like an executive of this stature. Dude, there was something about just fucking standing, like him looking at you in the eye when you're talking to him. That shit throws you off. Like you're on a different axis.
I mean, yeah. Did you guys see LaMarcus Aldridge, what he said to me? I mean, he said that Pat is like 007 and he'll literally make you, he's such a smooth talker that he'll talk you into things that you don't even really want to do. I thought that was a really fun exchange.
I know.
To hear that from him. And you're right, man. Like that's the thing. A lot of people want to criticize all of these players, and that's another thing I wanted to just quickly touch on in terms of what my takeaways from the weekend is that, like, when you're in front of these guys, including people like Riley, and you see that they're flesh and blood just like we are, man, it's unbelievable the difference in perspective. But there's definitely, like you said, a gravitational pull that comes with Riley.
I have your interview with LaMarcus Aldridge. You want to play it?
Play that, please.
When you were a free agent, you got to sit down with Pat Riley. What was that experience like?
Where'd you get this from? Sit down with Pat Riley was like, it was like being in like a 007 movie because he's like next level. He has everything thought out. He's very well spoken. You know, he carries himself a little bit different. So it was kind of different to experience that because he's such a good talker that he can sell you on something that you might not be okay with. So I had to make sure I was paying, you know, I was listening well. But it was fun, and, you know, it was an honor, you know, to sit down with him.
Do you see similarities between Heat culture and Spurs culture?
Yeah, for sure. You know, how strict things are as far as, you know, high character, playing defense, playing, you know, playing the right way, and, you know, just trying to always, you know, be on the up and up, for sure.
Thank you.
I have like a social culture disorder where I just blurt out culture at people.
You have culture Tourette's. I love how LaMarcus is like, well, how'd you get that? And then proceeds to confirm the story.
Yeah. It's because we heard from reliable folks.
Like, whoa. Yeah, I was like, did LaMarcus think that was a damn secret? Like,
exactly. Like, that's what I mean.
Like, I was like, come on, dude. That's another guy that Pat's always wanted.
Yeah, he does like himself some LaMarcus Aldridge.
We've heard him. Yeah, we've heard LaMarcus the trade talk. So I honestly would not be surprised if he ends up here at some point.
I think Pat probably had him walking out of that meeting, and then you know, his business agent is like, wait, what? No, you can't fucking go. They don't have any money.
Yeah, LaMarcus, not the mid level.
It's like, LaMarcus, but it was 007. It's like, I'm gonna. No, it's like, no, you're not gonna play there.
But did you see him? Like, man, I tell you, he could. I mean, like, when you look at Pat in the eye, like, he could tell you to do anything and I would have done. Like, he would have told me to punch brass in the face, I would have done so in an instant.
You would have done that anyway.
Because you're so mean. But I think, Leif, what was it like, hanging out with Nikias and Ethan? Because that was the first time you met either of them.
You're right. And it was, it's funny. And I actually said it to both of them after we were in the same room for a couple minutes. It's crazy when you talk and I guess on Twitter, we're not really talking, but we're having conversations day to day, and you feel like you know people, you know what they got going on a day to day basis. So it's like there's already an established connection, and then you're in the same room, and it's almost like you have met them before physically, even though you've never been in the same room with them. And you know, it was a lot of fun chilling with Nikias. I probably badgered him during the Rising Stars game. He wants to watch that game and really get into it. And I'm like, yo, so who do you take? Do you take Tatum or do you take Kuzma? Next 5 years, Bam Adebayo or Jared Allen? And he's breaking it down for me and giving all his reasons why. And I'm just picking his brain.
Well, what did he say?
He would take Bam over Jared Allen.
Yeah, Nikias.
Nikias told me that every time he evaluates a player in any fashion, the first thing he looks at is the ability to switch on defense and hit kind of their defensive potential. But anyway, more to that was just, it was fun picking his brain and getting a chance to sit down with him and talk. And then obviously Ethan took great care of me. Everybody at All-Star Weekend knew Ethan. It was crazy. You could tell he's been around the league for quite a while, and the league took great care of us.
Do you have any nuggets by any chance that you could share on the pod?
I did hear a few things. I actually had the chance to talk to some people there in Charlotte. A few things that I heard. One was something that we talk about often is why we're in this salary cap mess. And many people have attributed it to maybe that we had predicted there was going to be an additional cap spike that never came. So when you gave out those contracts, you thought that the cap would continue to go up and they would be reasonable deals per year compared to what was going around the league. I was told directly that they did not miscalculate the cap spike, that it happened exactly as they thought that it would for the most part. And that wasn't a factor in any of the contracts signed in 2017. The Heat liked their contracts a lot more than the media does. That was something that I definitely took away from my conversation. They want to see the team completely healthy. That was reiterated to me more than once. They really are excited to see Dion Waiters in an elevated role going forward, which, you know, that makes my skin crawl. Another thing that I heard was that they really still feel like these deals are movable. They think that they can create flexibility if they need to. They think that there's ways that they can either trade people to create flexibility or just straight up make trades with some of the pieces that they have. So they think that the talk about a lack of flexibility is absolutely overblown. So those were just a few of the things that I heard and were clarified to me over the weekend related to the Heat, because there was not a lot of people really talking about the Heat, honestly. If it wasn't Ethan, Nikias, or I going up to these people and asking them about the Heat, there was no conversation going on. I mean, Roanne was walking around asking what people were going to get Michael Jordan for his birthday.
Great content, by the way. Danny Green had the best answer by saying first round picks. Amazing. That made me laugh so hard. The Raptors are so cool, man. It's awesome. What was it like, Leif, when Nikias busted out the PS4 in the hotel room?
Oh, it was funny. He didn't actually really get to play it a ton because we were.
Why would he bring it?
We were on the move. What? No, but he got games in. We got back to the hotel after the Rising Star stuff. It was probably midnight, and he jumped on there for about an hour and a half. My old ass cashed out, but I was obviously the first one awake. And
so you guys were the squares and Ethan was the cool one.
This is true. This is true. In a past life, I would have been going hard in Charlotte, but we no longer is that the path that I go down. So I was playing it safe, laying low, and it was still a great time, man. It was an unbelievable experience.
I wish the guys would have been out to also tell the source. I'm dying to go to Summer League to kind of do experience a big NBA thing like that. Hopefully we could do
Ethan
that.
Says we might get a chance to cover the finals this year.
Yeah, it sounds like basically the only reason Nikias and I got credentialed was because Ethan is a credible person with the NBA for all these years, and he was really being taken at his word that we would behave ourselves. But it was expressed to him that going forward, we may have the opportunity to do some fun stuff like that. So I think that's just
like
a bonus.
Let's be self-involved. I know that we're running a little long. We're going to end the show soon, but like let's kind of examine what the fuck just happened. We are people that used to make jokes about the flying death machine, LeBron fast breaks, making jokes on Heat Twitter, and we've somehow ended up at All-Star Weekend by merit. I just think that the leap is kind of like, it's mind-boggling to me. And again, like I'm sorry for the self-involvedness, but like Brian and I were doing this out of a damn iPad in my kitchen, and then we just started getting weirdos on Heat Twitter to kind of join in on this with no promise of pay, right? So it's not like we asked Alf and Leif and Brass and all these people to join us, and we didn't say like, hey, eventually we're going to pay you. It was like, no, this is for fun. We're probably never going to make a cent.
No, it's crazy to see how it's evolved. I mean, we haven't even touched on the fact that the Wade Moments video dropped with you and Brass, you know, having unbelievable content there. And
just DJ killed it, man.
It's you know,
his buddy Justice.
This ride has been unbelievable. But the cool shit is that it's really just starting.
It's and by the way, I really, Leif highlighted that. Check that out on at MIA Heatbeat on Twitter. Brass, how about you explain what you did?
Yeah, when I got credentialed at the Garden a few weeks ago in the locker room and at shoot around earlier in the day, I went around and asked all the players, everyone except for Dion. I didn't get to Dion, which I regret because I did have some questions for him. So maybe I'll get him later in the season. But I asked everyone what their favorite Wade moment out of his, you know, 16-year career was. So, and I got some cool little snippets from each of those. And there's some really, I mean, you know, the standout there to me is still that J. Rich and Bam one is just so, that's so cool, man. But Gianni edited all these together in a beautiful video. Everyone should check it out. It's very cool.
What's my favorite Wade moment?
Wade moment that sticks out to me.
There's a lot of D-Wade moments that stand out to me. I'd probably say in 2006 when he just took over, you know, for the first champion, you know, for his first championship, he just took over and said, no, you know, I'm not, we're going to win this.
Way to hold on, and the Miami Heat are champions of the basketball world.
He drove, he was left and had to spin more than Dunk Loka, Kendrick Perkins. That was one of the moments that I always thought to me.
I need to see that again because I don't believe what he did.
Baseline, hit that spin, and then went off too.
Oh, Wade, what a play!
Wow. Probably was like second game, he hit a game winner against Philly. And you know, for me, that stands out because, you know, obviously we were on the team together.
That was a tough shot. It was a great shot.
Game six. Against Charlotte, my rookie year, talking trash to the man in the purple shirt.
Purple shirt guy.
Yeah, shirt guy.
So. Purple shirt man, have a seat. Mama, there goes that man.
I was on the court, actually. It was like I was a fan. It was like I was just standing there like, wow.
Falling away, puts it in! Dwayne Wade does it again!
It's my only NBA game I ever went to. That's just crazy.
Seriously?
Yeah. And then ended up getting drafted. Ain't that how life works?
Holding that trophy up is, you know, something that nobody can, not everybody can say. You know, everybody has moments. You know, everybody has good games. Everybody has game winners. Everybody has great shots, you know, athletic play. That's part of the game. We all have those. Everybody ain't had a chance to hold that trophy.
But if I could pick one, I'd probably be the first time I stepped on the basketball floor in the NBA. My first regular season game. You know, that was a moment where, you know, all my dreams really, really, really came true. You know, I got a chance to get out there in Philly against Allen Iverson, one of my favorite players. It was like, this is a pinch me moment, you know, so it was cool.
You know what I feel bad about? And Brass and I talked about this. So, like, Twitter videos have to be 2 minutes, 20 seconds, right? And, like, obviously, Twitter's our main audience. We're actually going to start a YouTube channel soon where we're going to put full-length things on there. So, you know, when we put out things on Twitter, we'll also have full-length things on YouTube, like, unedited, uncut. Oh, wow, uncut, director's cut. Ha-ha! So we're going to have like uncut things on the YouTube page of all our content because it really hurts to chop things because Twitter has like a specific 2 minutes, 20 seconds.
Not until we get verified.
Exactly. We get verified. We got Hassan. We got Eric Spoelstra quotes. We got Tyler Johnson kind of gave an elongated answer that we couldn't fit all in. I just had to kind of piggyback off of what DJJ said and all that stuff. DJJ, surprisingly, very soft-spoken.
You guys. He would have crushed that slam dunk contest. Oh, sure.
I know. I'm so mad.
My buddy Chuck told me that Derrick Jones Jr. was going to get that thing in before he got injured, and he'll be back next year. But they also are going to have Zion.
Do we bleep out? Do we bleep out the name?
Yeah, no. Chuck Malone. He's the NBA dunk coach. I've known him since high school.
Oh,
have to bleep nothing out. I wasn't trying to say it in that way. I just was cool to see him.
Oh, I was like, do we need to protect the identity of
No, not at all. He was out there trying to show that rapper from a group I don't listen to how to hold the ball correctly when Dennis Smith was trying to jump up and dunk. I think it was
Migos. I missed the dunk contest. I'm religiously watched the 3-point shootout, and then I watched an anime movie right after it finished.
Oh my gosh, can we just end right there?
Hey, it's Seth Levitt here from the Fish Tank with my main man,
OJ McDuffie, the Juice.
And Juice, we've got a special guest over the next 2 weeks in the tank.
What's up, everybody? It's Pat Surtain, and I'm officially diving into the Fish Tank. If he was better than Peyton, he definitely wasn't better than me.
That's what I wanted to get at.
That's where we're going with it.
Did you and Peyton ever play against each other in high school?
Absolutely. Beat him 35-7.
35-7.
Get out of here. Oh, yeah. I had 3 rushing and 2 passing on him, accounting for all 5 touchdowns.
Out of hand. And all of them.
Yeah.
Hey, Pat came in here saying he doesn't remember stuff, but he remembered.
I remember
all
that.
Make sure you dive into the tank to hear our entire interview with Patrick Surtain here on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. You can catch up on what you've missed and hear new episodes every 2 weeks until July by searching The Fish Tank on Apple Music, Google Play, Podbean, Spotify, or wherever else you find your favorite podcasts.
It's only right that the man that defines what it is to be an all-star for the Miami Heat, the man that has represented the city during so many All-Star games, Miami's brightest shining star, gets to have one last dance on the game's most star-studded stage. The key word here is star. In this game, in this era, there are few, if any, brighter than Dwayne. On and off the court, few names resonate as loudly as Dwayne Wade. So in this farewell season, this is where he belongs, on the court with the other greats, passing the torch to the next generation, and hopefully, passing some lobs to an old friend. We owe it to him. He's given us so much. Let's give him one last weekend with the stars.
Hello, friends. This is Josh Appel from Smark Your Territory.
And I'm Mr. Bill 11.
And we are officially on the road to WrestleMania. It is point at the WrestleMania sign season, Bill.
If you need to get to WrestleMania, we can be your Uber drivers on the road to WrestleMania.
I mean, what? You ruined it. You ruined it.
I like it. I think we could make some money doing that.
WrestleMania season is here. Stick with us here on Smark Your Territory, the 5 Reasons Sports Network's Pro Wrestling Podcast.